Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Are You Not Kentertained? This one is episode 7, and today's date is October 19th, 2016. I am joined today by the lovely Kent Waldron and the exceedingly lovely Carrie Blowers. Guys, how are you doing today?
Not bad at all. How are you guys?
Well, Russ asked me to show me my boobs.
Show you your boobs. Yes, that's what I did.
I've had a long week. Shut up.
Watching a lot of movies, right?
Yeah, I just wrapped up number 51 or 52.
Hey, you're right about where you should be.
Yeah, I need to average four a day, and on the weekend I plan on killing off like 7 a day, so that'll give me a little leeway. That way I can do this wonderful podcast with you wonderful people.
Sounds awesome. Good. Yeah. Well, glad to hear it. Guys, well, we're here to talk about wrestling. That's what this show's about. Well, at least when we're on, anyway. So,
you jealous?
I think
there,
we should
Russ?
Start with a...
Like, that just came off like jealous. Why are you jelly, man? Don't be jelly.
A little bit. Yeah. A little bit. All right. So here's what I'm thinking, guys. We got a new segment this time. We're going to try starting off with a new segment. And I think it's going to lead us to more direct positivity. Because we always, last few episodes, we've been going straight to the tubes, going for negativity. So I want to do something a little bit more positivity. And I want to do our best Raw segments and our best SmackDown segments. So we're going to start with that first. And I'm going to direct this first to Carrie. Carrie, give me your best of Raw this week.
Oh, I was hoping you'd go with me last, because I'm still thinking. Wow.
You can start with SmackDown. I don't care. Whichever. One of the two.
SmackDown is also hard to choose.
You want me to go with Kent, and then maybe you can think about it?
Yes, come back to me.
Okay, so let me explain the segment real quick.
I just saw a movie called Come Back to Me. I just saw a movie called Come Back to Me.
Was it good?
No. It's on Netflix, if anybody wants to watch it. And Russ, you kind of blew it here. You said positivity like 4 times, yet you have not said power
of
positivity.
I know. All I could think of was New Day, positivity.
Yeah, well,
power,
why not
positivity.
Use it? It is a wrestling podcast.
Exactly. Okay, so what we're going to do is Kent's going to tell us what his favorite part was, and we are going to discuss it. Kent, go.
All right, so actually I had 2 favorite parts. Three, technically. One, my buddy Tom comes in, he sits down, and then Braun Strowman comes out, and it just shook him, just briefly, because of that awesome entrance music. So that was the first great thing. The second great thing, Goldberg's jacket. I want one. I mean, I don't think they make an extra fat man size, but, you know, nonetheless, I really enjoyed it. And number 3 was also Tom-related, because he made fun of TJ Perkins because he dabs, which I have to admit, I just recently looked up what dabbing means, because I
don't know what it means. I see the kids do it all the time.
It's when they do, like, that gay thing.
Yeah, I know what it is.
Stupid as hell. So needless to say, no longer a fan of TJ Perkins.
Well, he's young. See, that's a young kid's move. I'm not going to fault him
for
that.
I'm not an old man.
It's because I work with kids.
I mean, I'm a curmudgeon-y bastard, but I'm not an old man.
You are definitely curmudgeon-y.
I'm not going to give Link a shield.
No, you're going to give him a sword.
Correct.
It's dangerous to go alone, Kent. Come on.
With that being said, I'll tell you, SmackDown, this one's easy.
Okay.
Alexa Bliss's nod to Freddy Krueger.
Yes, I saw that. The first second I saw that, I thought for sure. I was like, Kent has a raging clue right now, and it's not because it's Alexa Bliss. It's because it's an homage to Freddy Krueger.
Full inch and a half. Full.
Well, wouldn't it be a combination of both there?
Yes.
But mostly Freddy. Let's not go and, you know, mix this up and make it because it's Alexa. She was very hot, yes. But it was definitely because Freddy Krueger. So,
Carrie,
all right.
Have you thought about it? Come on.
Yes, I'm actually ready now. Okay.
Okay.
So, for Raw, a couple of things stood out for me, and it basically was just really good promo work on the part of two people. I would first want to touch on the Goldberg promo. It was amazing. He, if you look at it, he put on a clinic on how to basically do a face promo.
I'm going to agree with you on that. That was really well done. And I'm going to say, it's not just really well done for Goldberg, because like you posted this on your on the blog, but you said, has he ever had a better promo? And I don't remember the guy ever talking really before this, so I said no. And he put on a clinic. I agree with Kerry. I thought it was really well done.
Yeah.
I can tell you have so much to say about that.
Here's the thing with it, is that once you reach legend status, which, I mean, Goldberg's a legend.
Clearly.
I mean, he's been off our screen for, what, 10 years? 12 years, I think.
12. Yeah. 12.
So it's easy to have, I mean, they didn't write up shit for him. He probably just went out there, spoke from the heart. He had some tears going. Like, it was it was nice. Like, would I want him to come out and deliver a promo week after week? No, I wouldn't.
No.
But for one night only, yeah, he nailed it.
But it was good. It felt genuine, didn't it? It didn't feel like he was just coming back for a paycheck. That was good for me, because I was honestly not even on board with this. I thought this is just going to be a paycheck, and that's going to be it. But no, I mean, he delivered with fire at the end. I loved that line at the end, and I really enjoyed it. Kerry, that was a good shot.
Goldberg is no gold digger, because he ain't messing with no Brock.
Yeah. Good save at the end there, Brock.
Yay. So I guess my SmackDown pick, I guess.
Okay.
Alright. So I had internet issues while I was watching SmackDown, so I got some spotty, you know, watching ability. But I have to say, well done promo work by Carmella. She's getting better and better week over week, and I think everybody's selling her short. She did very well, especially against somebody as seasoned as Nikki, who, I'm sorry to say, basically just hit every single one of her boyfriend's talking points during her responses to Carmella. It was, well, she just proved Carmella's point.
You know what's funny? She did, but on her own merits, both of them, I thought, did really well. Like, Nikki came out and sounded sincere. Again, it's all of a sudden, like, some of these people who are so bad at... Remember how bad she used to be when she used to give promos? Oh, my God. But now she's smooth, she's flowing, she sounds intelligent, and she's delivering with fat passion, I want to say. I guess the word's passion, not fashion, because that's Carmella. But Carmella, she's been doing amazing work. You're right, I agree with that, absolutely. And I've never really cared about women's wrestling before now.
Ouch, words hurt, man.
They do. I'm sorry. I've never really cared for it. I mean, yes, I like some of the girls in there every once in a while, but I never really cared about women's wrestling. SmackDown has made me care about women's wrestling. I actually can't wait to see SmackDown's girls.
You know, this is already starting a whole new thing, but I just read this like 10 minutes before we went started this. And a question was posed. Is it better what Raw's doing in building up two quote-unquote legit stars the way that they're doing it and basically burying everybody else? Or is it better to have the... It's almost 50-50, but it's really... I don't know. It's not really 50-50, but it kind of is on SmackDown. Me, personally, I think that they're doing better on SmackDown. I'd rather have legit contenders in such a small division than to have just two powerhouses, because what's the point? Like, you do powerhouses in a bigger division. I don't know. Do you agree with that, or what are you thinking here?
I mean, I would say SmackDown's got it right. You're showcasing all your talent. You're showing what they're made of and stuff like that. Raw, you're focusing on two people. Is that all of the division that we have? And then you have Bayley jobbing?
We'll talk about that later. We'll get to that later.
I think SmackDown's got it right here.
Okay, typically I agree with you guys, and this is hard because I don't want to, but I'm going to bring up the other point for Raw.
Wrong.
Well, yes, obviously. But I just want to bring this up, this point up. What they are doing on Raw, I do like it. I mean, they're building up Charlotte and they need to build something up. All right, everybody was on equal playing ground, but they need to kind of build the group up to give them the tiers of the system. Yes, I know it's a small group of girls, but if you build up two mega stars, you have them fight for a little bit, then you separate them, and then they can then go and build up other stars with them. So I can see that, because imagine it. Whoever wins this match next, which I'm going to assume it's going to be Sasha, because it would make absolutely no sense for Charlotte to win, even though Charlotte's great lately. But I think that Sasha's going to win it. Who gets the belt off Sasha that's not Charlotte is going to be huge. It's going to be huge for them. So I can see that. I also think, you know, giving them that status will help the, like I said, just helps the others, I think. So that's my opinion on that. But I totally agree with you. SmackDown's way better. I'd rather watch SmackDown.
So you just waste their time by arguing against yourself.
No, I gave a valid point.
There's nothing valid about that because, all right, so you make somebody, say, we'll use Nia Jax because if anybody needs to be made, it's Nia Jax, right?
What happened to her?
I don't know.
It's been a crazy
I don't know. Like, Neville forgot gravity and she found it. I don't know. But anyway, like, all right, so Nia Jax, you know, she's a person that could be made, or Emma, right? So you have those two girls put them over, put Emma over, okay? See, you start running into this problem, though, where putting people over doesn't count for shit unless they stay, like, unless you have a John Cena, putting somebody over really isn't putting somebody over in the same terms anymore. Like, as much as we hate John Cena, like, we had to go through the years and years of enduring his bullshit, so now when he does put somebody over, it is something cool. But, by the same token, is it really worth it? Is it really, really worth all the inane bullshit, the same people on top, mercilessly, being bored to fucking death, just so we can say, hey, we made a superstar. Yay.
Well, it's important for them to have superstar status. Let's look at Charlotte, for example. Charlotte was annoying as hell up until about, what, 2 months ago, where they finally decided to say, okay, here's Charlotte, here's Sasha, let's build them up, and then we'll take care of the rest later. Charlotte has become amazing. Her heel work has been great. She actually talks now much better than when she started, and I think that's because she's gotten all this practice and everything going on. So I think that Charlotte has become that top level, that top tier, and that's good for her. Now, can they carry it to the next person? Carrie, do you got anything to say on that one?
Well, I'm just going to echo your point on Charlotte. I mean, she's really come into her own the past couple of weeks, this rivalry with Sasha. I mean, what they're doing with both of them right now, that should be a blueprint going forward to kind of bring the other girls up to their level. So you don't just have two women in the division that basically are carrying it. You have a group. So maybe it's a slow build to what SmackDown's trying to do, but I mean, I see the logic in it. But right now, it just makes for really boring TV.
And let's not forget that they are pushing other women, too. It's amazing. I've noticed this, and maybe it's because of Carrie. But we always talk about women almost nonstop in the last 3 weeks. It's almost always focused on the women. Have you noticed that, Kat?
What I noticed, yes. The other thing I noticed is that Mick Foley is doing stupid Mick Foley fucking things. I love Mick Foley. I love him. Like, at no point can I ever say I hate Mick Foley. That'll never, ever, ever happen. But, like, oh, I'm getting off Twitter. Like, that's the biggest fucking punishment in the world, getting the fuck off of Twitter, right? Like, you're stopping the world from your greatness of being on Twitter. Get the fuck out. A fan brought up a great point. Like, why not push somebody as talented as Summer Rae? Now, some of us some people have not seen.
Was that person you?
Huh?
Was that you? Was that you? You the person that said that? Why not push Summer Rae? Because I know how much you have a raging clue for her.
I'm never on Twitter. I fucking hate Twitter. I mean, I have a Twitter account and everything, but like the only time I post is. Shut up. Anyway. the only time I post is like to Headbanger Mosh or Headbanger Thrasher. Yeah. Anyway.
And they respond.
Yes, they do. They're awesome guys. The thing is that Foley has such a hard-on for Charlotte and Sasha that, I don't know, I feel like his view is getting tainted a little bit here because you do have capable people in Summer Rae that, when the fuck was she last on? I'm asking, like, when did you last remember seeing Summer Rae? Any idea?
I thought she was gone, tell you the truth.
I'm drawing a blank the last time I saw her as well.
Right. And that's a problem. Like, we know where Paige is. And Carrie just wants to talk about Paige, judging by everything I read in the blog.
No, I don't.
But
I do.
I mean, they removed Paige from the Raw opening, so that's how well her career is going. But yes. Still, like...
And her parents totally approve of her engagement to Alberto. That's not true.
Does know that they're still married, right? Like, he's still married. Mm-hmm. Like, that divorce is not finalized.
I didn't even know that, but I tried to not care. Like, I have the same thought process as you, Carrie. I just kind of like to antagonize a little bit. So, yeah. But why not use Summer? Like, Carrie, you saw Summer in NXT. You know that Summer can wrestle. She can talk on the mic. What the fuck? Like, how is she any... Is she any worse than Charlotte or Sasha? If given the time, do you think she could be at their level?
I think, yeah, definitely. Given the right booking, given the right, you know, opportunities, yes. I mean, she put on a really good rivalry with Paige in NXT. In fact, it was some of the best women's rivalries that they had before, prior to the time of, let's say, Charlotte and Sasha and the rest of the Four Horsewomen.
And wouldn't it make more sense for WWE to maybe, I mean, I'm just speaking as a dude here, but Summer Rae is more attractive than Charlotte and Sasha. Emma is more attractive. And sex sells. No matter how much we want to say revolution this, revolution that, chicks dug ravishing Rick Rude and his mustache and his abs.
Just chicks?
Well, Freddie Mercury probably would have too. My point is that sex still sells. No matter how much we want to say it's talent-based, why not? Why not, you know, like, I don't know. They're missing it. I don't know. Fuck Raw. That's what I got to say.
Well, I agree with you that Charlotte may not be as attractive as Summer Rae, but Sasha, come on. She's definitely more attractive, or at least equally.
Yeah, her forehead's about as big as mine.
So, you have a sexy forehead.
I'm just enjoying watching the reaction right now. This is the best idea I've had.
I'm so glad. I know we should do that. We have to do this every week now. Just so everybody knows, we actually have each other on video cam. This is the first time we've done it. And this is probably the best thing that's ever happened to us.
Ah, fantastic.
All right.
Russ, how about you tell us about your favorite Raw and SmackDown thing? Because we're like 20 minutes in and we have yet to hear anything.
I know. We haven't even hit that yet. Well, I figured if I didn't get to mine, it's not a
big deal. No, Russ.
At least we got ourselves talking. So
there are fans of yours, and they want to hear from you.
Several, yes. Okay, they want to hear my opinion. I think the best thing on Raw was definitely Kevin Owens and Chris Jericho. I wish the bromance could survive longer. They're obviously showing the cracks. They want to get Y2J to be the face to go against Kevin Owens, giving Kevin Owens a shot with another good person to feud with. And I personally cannot wait for that feud to happen, but we're going to lose Chris Jericho. This Chris Jericho. We're going to lose him. You know that, right? Because the second he becomes face, everything cool about him is going to be basically dropped. Which sucks.
Jericho does... But and there is one bonus to this. Face Jericho rips on Stephanie McMahon like no other.
What are you talking about? He has never insulted Stephanie McMahon once, ever. Clearly, he said that last week.
Russ, you used the term romance. I take nothing that you say seriously from this point forward.
Unfortunately, though, but I like where they're going with it. There's a nice progression. It's a good story, and I know it's going to pay off in the end. So I think that's a good – that was really good. I thought they were really good. And I was – it almost broke my heart. Broke my heart to see Chris Jericho almost call Kevin Owens a stupid idiot.
That was almost – yeah.
Devastating.
Right,
you know?
Right.
Okay. SmackDown, and I'm going to lead this in not only for one segment. It's going to be two segments in a row, people. Two segments. Not only is this the best part of SmackDown, it's also my woman crush of the week. And I said woman crush because it's actually a girl this time around. Naomi and Alexa. I'm going to go jump back to that real quick. Naomi put on a clinic of a match on SmackDown. I had to watch it twice just to make sure I wasn't going crazy. She was smooth in the ring. Great moves. Everything made sense in a logical pattern. Yes, Alexa, I'm going to say this right now. Alexa did her part and did it great. I'm not taking anything away from Alexa, but I thought Naomi did amazing. Like, I've seen Naomi fight before. I've never cared about Naomi fighting before. And then all of a sudden, she puts on this match with Alexa, and it was fantastic. She was doing moves I couldn't believe she could do. It was incredible. Whoever her trainer is, kudos. I'm assuming it's her husband. But
do you feel – I've been wondering this because I enjoyed the match a lot. And over the past month to 2 months, since she started this whole epileptic seizure entrance, she's been doing great in the ring, though. And I'm sitting there wondering, is it because – she had talent way back when they did NXT Season 3 with the women when we had, I don't even remember who the girls were. But anyway, like, she was good, and then, like, she got put in really shitty feuds and storylines. Do you think it was a case of almost, like, Gail Kim where she stopped giving a fuck and she just stopped performing in the ring? And now that she actually has something that she's, like... She has some positive stuff going on. Do you think that now she's trying harder, or do you think it's just like a newfound... What do you think? That's a sexy finger.
It is a sexy finger. It's pointing at something.
Oh.
Yeah, you.
Are you guys waiting for me?
Yes.
Well, I mean, I think Naomi has always had the ability. I mean, when you lose passion, you lose, you know... the want to be successful, you don't want to care anymore. And I think that's what happened with her with, you know, when she was in the Funkadactyls and all the other kind of BS storylines they gave her. But now she has something that's really, you know, for her to be passionate about, a group of women who are all striving for kind of the same thing. And I think in her case, that's kind of brought... I think the real Naomi back.
I'm for one happy about that. I came back to wrestling when she was as a Funkadactyl. Is that what it was? Funkadactyl?
Yes, Russ.
Yeah.
You're fucking dinosaurs.
Okay. Okay.
You're funkin' dinosaurs, okay. If you will.
All right. I just want to make sure. I couldn't tell. It was Funkadactyls. So I came back to wrestling at that point, and she never impressed me. I was like, okay, she is meh, all right, whatever. And it went all the way up until recently. It was terrible. And then last night's match was just, wow, holy crap, opened my eyes, and I am a huge Naomi fan now. I actually want her to win the belt. I do want it. I will take the epileptic seizure just to see her get the belt. All right, so there you go. You got two segments in a row, folks. You got my best of SmackDown and my woman crush of the week. Don't worry, next week it will probably be a guy again. I don't want to disappoint the fans. So, but kudos to Naomi. All right, so we finally got the segment done. It took us only 25 minutes. That's all right.
No, that was fast. That was really fast.
There's a lot of other things we definitely want to hit.
Wait a second. I just want to say that I just had to look up NXT Season 3. Naomi came in second. She lost to Caitlyn, Remember her? She lasted for like a year and a half. AJ Lee finished third.
Wow.
And then there was Oksana. Once again, short-lived run, and two other girls that did not do well. But, I mean, really, AJ finished third, and she was the most successful. It's kind of funny.
Today, I think Naomi might be able to pull it.
No.
I know,
chance
but you love AJ.
Hell.
I knew it.
There is she is banging CM Punk, the best in the world, okay? She was Raw GM. She made out with what? Cena, Daniel Bryan, Punk, and Kane, okay? Yeah.
I like how you bring up the making out part. Like, that's part of her. That's like, that's her top tier stuff.
Russ, if you could make out with Kane, you
She made
it.
Out with John Cena.
Don't deny it. Don't.
I mean, I'd make out with John Cena, too. I'm not going to
lie. Right, of course.
Yeah.
You kind of just want his muscular arms wrapped around you.
Oh, my God. That would be great, wouldn't it? You'd feel comfortable and safe.
Oh, my God. I'd feel so secure. I really would.
I would, too. But the only problem is when I asked him when I could see him again.
Yep. You won't be able to see him again.
I know. Shame.
Where the hell are we going with this?
I don't know. Okay, let's go back. Okay, focus back. All right, we have a lot of other topics we all want to hit. Let's go to Kent's favorite. Actually, let's stick with the women. Sorry. Let's stick with the women because I do want to talk about this.
Christ, the women's revolution's done with. I've squashed it.
Let's just talk about one other thing. Carrie, you mentioned that Bailey got jobbed to Dana. I think that was a botch. I watched it twice just to make sure. It looks like at the end, Dana is supposed to get her feet on the rope, and she's too far away. I don't know whose fault that is. I don't know if it was Bailey's. I don't know if it was Dana's. But it was a clear botch, because I think she was supposed to put her feet on the rope so it could be contended next week that she got her unfairly so we could have the match at Hell in the Cell. Now I don't know what they're going to do. What do you think, Carrie? Did you see that?
I did not watch the match. I kind of read the recaps, but anyway, regardless, I mean, they can backpedal. Creative can backpedal. They'll figure out something. I mean, to set up a match for Hell in the Cell. I mean, look at the double pin. They addressed it the following week. Creative.
That's true. That was a clear botch. You're right. Good call. Kent, do you think they'll penalize or they're just going to wash it away?
First of all, I'm just kind of curious. Like, how much stuff did you watch twice this week? This is the second...
Three things.
Are you going to get to the third thing later? Like, is this like a surprise for me?
Probably not.
All right, so just tell me now.
It's TJ Perkins. I watched that twice. The entrance. Just the entrance. Yep. Right. Yep.
Back of my fucking hand. The question.
Glad you asked that question. By the way, I was like, "Come on, get fall for it."
God damn it! there's gonna be no penalty. They're not gonna penalize the one woman that's gonna push merchandise better than any female ever has in Bailey. And unless you're blowing blame Dana, which.
They're high on Dana, too, right? I mean, they seem to like her.
I don't know. I think Dana's one of those people that... She's kind of like a Dolph Ziggler, where, like, a couple months she can be, like, liked, and then they'll sour on her and just job her out. So I think Dana's just going to have a very Ziggler-esque career minus the accolades. Yeah, I use the term accolades.
Yeah, I like it. Fair enough. All right, Kent, I know you've been waiting for this for the past half an hour. I'm going to give it to you, sir. Let's talk about Baron Corbin.
Thank you. Now, first of all, Baron Corbin squashed Swagger. That was a quick as hell match. Now, granted, I didn't watch it twice, so I mean, I'm no expert on it.
Gotten everything out of it.
But I really liked him, the forearms to the back of the head, outside the ring, and all of a sudden he hit End of Days. I was like, holy shit, they just squashed Swagger, which makes no sense to me. Makes zero sense to me, but that's not what I'm here for. I'm here to talk about talking smack. Baron Corbin just elevated himself in the same way that The Miz did a month and a half ago. Baron Corbin was so good in that interview. He was down to earth. He was very, very
Articulate. Yeah, very articulate.
Very articulate. And, like, everything he said made sense. It wasn't just a dickish heel promo. It was a very real-life, I just don't get along with people promo. Which, there's a lot of antisocial people out there that can really relate to that. And he
oh, sorry. I mean, no.
I have no friends. Go on. What's your point? The thing is that at the end, like, he showed fire towards Daniel, and then Daniel, like, fired right back, and it was actually probably the best part of SmackDown was what we didn't see during SmackDown. I think that was such a good promo. I hope that on SmackDown they show some of that segment. Did either of you watch it?
I did not because I could not find it on YouTube. Shame. Which upset me because I read the recap and I am in 100% agreement with you. He knocked that interview out of the park. I am a believer and a convert, Kent. I believe in Corbin.
I did watch it. I saw it on a Baron Corbin website. Apparently he has fans enough that he has his own website that's not his official website. So that's where I saw it, which is shocked me enough. Watching it, I was really impressed. Like, he very smooth talking, very natural. I loved that. It felt really natural. Didn't feel like it was something coming out of a script. So it felt very natural.
Did it remind you a little bit of how, remember, like, when Austin was first coming into his own, everything that was coming out of his mouth, suddenly, like, he was stopped being the ringmaster. Words that started coming out seemed natural.
He was being himself. Right. He was being stone cold. Right. Yes, and that's it did feel like that. It felt, okay, that's Baron. I can get behind this Baron. I get it. I understand it. He's a lone wolf. He's been saying that forever, but okay, so what? He connected the dots with this promo, and it really connected. Like, the only thing I need from him now is something in the ring. I have not seen something in Baron Corbin's to go, wow, yep. Great match, great talker, good stuff. He has had nothing. Even with his feud with I'm not going to say it's his fault, okay, first of all, because creative, back when they had to do Raw and SmackDown, was horrible, and that screwed both Dolph and him. So I'm not going to count that against him. But he's done really very little in the ring since the creative break. I really want to see him get into a real feud, and I honestly thought that was going to be Swagger. I thought it was going to be Swagger, right. And then they just squashed it, and now it's not worth
it. And now who do they move on to? I mean, I'm really confused, because he's already feuded with Dolph. Randy's with Bray. Cena's off filming. The only person left, logically, is Kane, as far as
Or Dean.
Or Dean. Dean actually... Well, Dean works to his opponent's level, though, so I don't know.
That's true. We've never seen Dean elevate anybody. You're right.
But still, I don't know. I think Corbin could actually be money in a year if they continue developing his character. Like, if they really did it well, like, his face turn could be that face that they've needed, that badass, that Goldberg, that Austin.
Yeah.
Because they haven't had that badass. Like, oh, well, they've tried making Roman into it, but that hasn't worked.
That failed.
Corbin could technically be that badass that Vince has been wanting for years now. So, I don't know.
He has the ability. It's just he has to show it in the ring. And
he's improved.
That's where I'm going to be stuck with.
He's really improved in the ring, but he's not nearly where he needs to be. But if you ever watched him, like, in his first, I don't know, 3 to 6 months in NXT, he was like Nia Jax level of great.
Oh, no. Yeah, and see, that's the problem. So who... Okay, I'm going to go to both of you then. Who could elevate Baron Corbin, either Raw or SmackDown? Take a few seconds to think
John
about
Cena.
It, so I'm going to talk really slow. Kent, why don't you go first?
John Cena. John Cena can beat Baron Corbin, and it'll still elevate him. That's what I want.
Absolutely.
Because when Cena and Baron tangled very, very briefly, it was in that six-pack challenge to determine the number one contender for SummerSlam. And Baron and Cena had this little back-and-forth thing about, you know, whether Cena's going to hit the AA. And it was really good. It was this nice power struggle, and that's what Baron needs. Baron can lose. He can lose every single match. It will still elevate him. That's what he needs. It ain't going to happen until next year, but that's the guy.
thinking someone we haven't seen in a while. Kind of.
Okay.
Big Show.
Chris Benoit?
No. Big Show.
I don't think Chris Benoit can teach you much.
Chris Benoit ain't come through those curtains anymore. Isn't Big Show on Raw, though?
Well, I said Raw or SmackDown. I did say that. Whoever you thought could help him elevate him, who
would
it
be? Well, my apologies, Russ.
You're darn welcome.
Well, here's my logic with the whole...
Accepted.
Big Show thing. I mean, Big Show won the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. So has Baron Corbin. Who better to elevate his game than Big Show? Or... Oh, no, I was going to say, or somebody equivalent. Who that might be, maybe Kane or something like that. But, I mean, Baron Corbin's basically the next of the big guys, so to speak. You need a former... Mm-hmm. Exactly. So we need somebody to kind of elevate him to basically big guy status. I mean, you got Kane or Taker if he's healthy. They need to, those two need to work.
I'm pretty sure Taker's days are done.
I'll get to that.
Okay.
Too soon.
Didn't mean to jump on that one. Okay, sorry.
But in any case, either one of those two, those are the two that need to elevate Bray as a new quote unquote monster.
Yes. They need to focus on Bray. You're right. I'm going to go against the grain here. I'm going to say Roman Reigns would be excellent for Baron Corbin. Roman is already obviously established. He's a big guy, and he has moves and power. He has power moves, and he has real moves. He doesn't show them all the time, but he has them. And he has gotten better. I think a great feud between those two would be amazing. It's the family man versus the lone wolf. It rates itself almost. It would be really good to see.
What would you think about heel versus heel, Sheamus versus Baron? Because I think that'd be a hell of a matchup.
That would be a great matchup, too. Sheamus brings the power, and I love that about Sheamus. You can even go with Cesaro. You could go with Cesaro and Baron as well. It would be face versus heel, obviously, but it would still be power versus power.
It would work, but I feel that Sheamus and Baron in a wild brawl, because that's what both guys excel at.
Yes.
I think that would just be a great 12-minute match that would get both guys over. That's all.
Yeah, and it doesn't have to be a long match. That's the other thing that's beautiful about it. They're big men, not a long match. 15 minutes at max, good stuff.
I don't think any big men now can go longer than 12 to 15 minutes aside from Luke. Is there anybody else that really can?
Ooh, never mind. Luke and Baron. That could be the next feud.
I'd rub one out to that, but I'd also be morally conflicted.
Oh, I know you would. Well, yeah, you'd be in trouble. But that'd be a heck of a match. But unfortunately, they're both heel right now, so I don't think that's going to happen.
Why not? Why not bring it back where good guys can face good guys can face bad guys, ECW at its fucking time.
Because this is the PG error, Kent. Or era. Not error. That's wrong.
That was an error.
I'm sorry. That was an error.
Yeah. Well played. Want to move on to the next topic? Safe face?
Yep, let's do that. Let's like pretend this never happened.
Can we get one of the news stories from Carrie before you ruin everything else for her in her life?
Okay, fine.
You can introduce it.
Oh, right. And now it's Carrie's news story of the week, something we may not know about this week, and Carrie is here to dish it out to us.
All right. So again, this week I've searched the dirt sheets and the internet for this week's big wrestling story of the week. Well, folks, I actually have two stories I'd like to share with you. The first one deals with everyone's favorite dead man and poses a question. Why is Undertaker on crutches? According to PW Insider and Wrestling News source, Undertaker recently underwent hip surgery, and that was a reason why he was pictured in crutches on a few Instagram fan photos over the weekend. As to when the surgery occurred, my sources are unsure. However, it does lead to the question about his availability for next year's WrestleMania. What do you guys think? Do you think we're going to see the dead man at WrestleMania, or do you think he's retiring?
I think you wrote out your whole promo.
Yes, I did.
Yeah, we could see that. That was great.
I'm going to say that you never can count The Undertaker out. And Vince loves the man, so whatever Undertaker wants to do, Vince is going to back it no matter what. Unless it's, I never want to wrestle again, and then Vince is going to try to convince him to do it at least one more time. So I'm going to say don't count him out. It's only October. It's hip surgery. Yes, he is an old man. We're not going to be seeing huge spots out of him anymore, but he's got at least one more. One more. John Cena versus Undertaker has to happen.
Cena versus Taker. That was the match that should have happened at WrestleMania 30. It shouldn't have been Brock versus him. So that should be the match. At some point, you know, Cena may end up turning heel. I mean, it may happen. I'm not saying it will, but it could.
I've heard rumors that it.
Yeah, I was reading that too. I don't believe it will, but if it does, it's either against Taker. Or it's going to be for the 16 champion, wouldn't you say?
For the 16th championship, I think he's going to be faced because that's a huge moment. Do you think he'd be heel for that? I would say maybe immediately after that, he would turn heel maybe immediately after that. But I definitely think for sure. He'd be faced for it, wouldn't you? You think he would actually turn heel to get the 16th?
Yes. What better way to get your 16th championship, tie the record of the dirtiest player in the game, than to turn heel to get it? Like, what if he goes through that whole series of where he just can't win the big one fairly, and he has to do it underhanded just because he needs to have it? You know what I mean? Like, it's similar to how
it
Hogan
seems like
went.
They're teasing that.
It's the exact same thing, and you know it's weird. It's almost 20 years. It's almost exactly 20 years since Hogan did it. Was it 96 or 97 that Hogan? I don't remember, but it was.
I think it was 97.
Okay, could you imagine? In 2017, 20 years, Cena does it.
Yeah.
Like it'd be a nice ode. I don't know. I would like to see that happen. Cena's not going to be able to be the Cena of old with heel promos, but he can still cut a vicious promo. And I think him being heel, he would get cheers. He would get cheered, and
yeah.
It wouldn't last long. But NWO was cheered wildly. Who ever cheered on anybody the NWO was going against aside from Sting?
Well, that's the other thing. AJ Styles gets cheers a lot still. I mean, the second his music hits, people go crazy. They start booing him once he starts talking. But they definitely... what's the word I'm looking for here? They definitely cheer him. They want to see him.
Well, yeah. So, I mean, Cena's already getting to that point where fans are cheering him out of respect as a legend. So now... Now we're getting to that point where he's kind of like Jericho. Jericho, heel or face, Jericho gets cheered, right? And that's just the way it's going to be. Flair, when Flair was heel and managing Charlotte, he was still getting cheered, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. Cena's just such a... When all is said and done, all the shit that we've talked about Cena is just going to go away, like... 20 years from now, we're going to remember like all these fond things.
The fond. Yep,
it's
kind
of like
things,
when Triple
right.
H's Reign of Terror. It was like, oh my God, he didn't put over RVD. He didn't put over Booker T. Now we look back and it's like, oh.
He had sex with Katie Vick.
Yes.
Never forget it. Oh, man. That's definitely an interesting topic. Before we move on to the next topic, Let's talk about Braun Strowman.
Strowman. He's not ramen noodle.
That's why I was like, wait a minute. It's definitely not ramen noodle style. Let's talk about him. Let's go to another big guy because I'm gonna have to give kudos to Raw here on this one. They made me hate him because of the first 3 months, just his constant horrible fighting of these know-nothing names to make us feel like he's some big bad guy. Ooh, because he can beat up nobodies. And then they turned it around on us. Made it say, Braun's like, I don't want this garbage. This is Foley doing it to me. And I was like, yes. Yes, all right. And then now he finally has a big name. Zane. And that's awesome. It's great. But Zane is going to get killed. He's a dead man.
Man, so you're talking like fucking Shatner here. Christ almighty here.
He's a dead man. Well, he's a dead man in the ring.
He's not Undertaker.
Career-wise, no, he's going to be a dead man because Braun's going to kill him. But that's my question to you guys. Is Braun versus Zane more of a reflection on Zane going down the toilet? Or is it more they're that high on Braun and they love Zane, but they want to get Zane, they want to get Braun pushed?
I think it's a case of creative has nothing for either of them. So why not put them in a feud together? I mean, they have to have both of them on TV, one, to continue Braun's storyline, and two, because the crowd loves Zane.
Yes, they absolutely do. It's as soon as his music hits, it's crazy.
So, I mean, they have to have a way to keep them both on TV. So, here we go.
Can Zane in any way help elevate Braun, though, is a question, because Zane has been booked relatively poorly. On the main roster, aside from the Owen stuff. You need that middleman, and Zane's a perfect middleman. But at the end of the day, because of Zane's size and his status in the pecking order, is he going to be able, like, I don't know how you elevate Braun using Sami Zayn unless you have Braun maybe viciously, like, destroy him, or if, like, Braun added, say, like, the torture rack as a submission move and just kept Zayn in it for 5 minutes, because the refs aren't going to be able to do anything to Braun. I mean, nobody's going to do anything to Braun aside from, like, Big Show, Mark Henry, or Brock Lesnar. Like,
right.
So that would be something, like a torture rack, some kind of submission hold, or just a vicious beatdown. I don't know, like, how else. The fans love Sammy, but I'm not sure how this really gets Braun over more than he is.
Well, I'm hoping that you're wrong in this case. I think Zayn has the ability to help Braun, but it's got to be, it can't be a squash. What the hell's wrong with me today?
You fucked up. You fucked up.
A lot today. I'm the Dana Brooks of this podcast today.
You're Sin Cara.
Even worse.
Should we submit this interview, this podcast to Botchmania?
Yeah, seriously. Oh, man. So, Zane, if it has to be a match. It cannot be a squash match. It's got to be Zane puts on the effort. In fact, it's got to make. I think it would be the best storyline if Zane looked like he was going to win, and then Braun cheated to get the edge, and then utterly annihilates Zane. That would be the best A for both of them. Doesn't make Zane look weak, and it honestly makes Braun look awesome, and then he maybe bit off a little bit more than he could chew, but he destroyed him in the end anyway, so it doesn't matter. I think that's the best way to go. Will they do that? Probably not.
It's questionable, and the biggest problem right now with building a monster is that you can't build a monster and have him do a three-month feud, because it doesn't work that way. A monster tears through opponents. A two-month feud at best. But a monster needs to just tear through opponents. They could almost Goldberg the hell out of Braun Strowman. Why couldn't they?
They could.
Why couldn't they just keep feeding him and let him build up an undefeated streak and keep him out of the main event? Because you can clearly see the evolution of Braun Strowman. Like, they're showing off more of his moves. The dude's landing drop kicks. He's running. Like,
That was pretty impressive.
He's doing things that a man his size shouldn't be doing, which is awesome. But why not keep him on the lowdown for right now and then maybe eventually build him up for a U.S. title? I think they could Goldberg this. I really like to see them do that. And Braun's a legit enough dude physically where he's intimidating. Like, you could believe that he went 100-0. Nobody would question this.
Yeah. Didn't he already lose once, though? Or are they not counting anything tag?
Russ, anything that happened more than 2 weeks ago, WWE does not acknowledge. It never happened.
Okay. Never.
Buff Bagwell was never on Raw.
I thought it was a week ago.
What happened a week ago?
No, I'm just saying WWE doesn't remember.
I know. I was playing along.
I see.
Okay, Kerry. I know. I'm sorry. I cut you off with it. Could you give us your second story, please? I cut you off from that.
Oh, no worries. Basically, I wasn't gonna do two stories this week, but one just came in hot off the press. So I have a breaking news story, and it looks like TNA may be filing for bankruptcy. According to Wrestler Observer Radio and Dave Meltzer, the details are still up in the air, but it looks like TNA may be filing for either...
Hey, how's that feel? How's that botch feel? Huh? How's that feel?
Not good. Not good at all. Okay. Anyway, may be filing for either Chapter 7 or Chapter 11 bankruptcy. Basically, Chapter 11 means that the company will stay alive. Chapter 7 means, well, the end of TNA. Either way, it looks like Corgan and company will be one of the main creditors for TNA, but as of right now, there isn't really any further information than that. It was pretty much breaking news around 6 p.m. this evening, Eastern time.
Interesting, because I just posted, well, I haven't posted it yet, because Kent's got to post it. On my blog, Ken asked us a beautiful question. What's going to last longer, Paige in Alberta or TNA? And my response was, well, if Paige in Alberta lasts longer than TNA, I'm going to riot. That's what I said. But then I thought better of it. I was like, no, wait. I already know what happens when I say I'm going to riot. We already seen it. And if you haven't seen it, go to 9deuce.com. Is there anything they have to slash for that one, Kent? Or is it just 9deuce.com?
Well, they could do a slash wrestling if they want to go directly to the wrestling section.
Okay, so slash wrestling.
Yeah, that'd be cool as shit.
If you want to see my amazing riot, Kent, you gotta admit, when I rioted,
I was scared for my life. Scared, I tell you, my life.
Darn right.
I was reading the whole TNA stuff, and I saw that they were way behind. Who was it? Like American Express or something? Just filed a lawsuit. There's something about them. Avoiding their taxes. There were so many things going on. Billy Corgan has a restraining order against Dixie Carter, for fuck's sake. Like, this company is going down the tube. And yet, I still really want to see, like, how messy the Alberto and Paige thing can get, because I don't like celebrity gossip, but goddamn, this is that train wreck that you are dying to see.
Absolutely. This is going to end up in a domestic violence, and it's not going to be Alberto domestic violencing Paige. It's going to be the other way around. I think Paige is going to beat the crap out of Alberto.
Is Alberto going to be the perro this time?
Yes. I definitely, you're right. I'm looking at this train wreck going, when is it going to hit? When is this going to be a train wreck? Or the worst part, and I don't want this one to happen, one of them is going to die.
To go back to TNA, because death is such a grim topic, Russ.
Yes, we should stay away from it.
Apparently TNA is so badly in debt that they lost rights to some of the songs, so they had to put Mike in crowd reactions over some of the songs that they use for Pop TV, and Pop TV's almost pulled them, rumor has it.
Wow. Now, I'm sorry, I have a question. Does this mean, like, what is Corgan going to do about this? Because it's not his fault.
Corgan is, like, president, but Dixie's been making... Here's what my understanding is, that Dixie's been making some deals behind Corgan's back that Corgan really didn't know fully about, and that's where the restraining order is coming into play. He wants to be notified of all these decisions because it's his money. I don't know if it's not, like, 100% his company by no means, but he is a part owner, as far as I understand. Dixie needs to get out from under this before I mean, her she's never going to go broke. Her parents are loaded. Her parents, I think, are billionaires, possibly. But she needs to just wipe the slate clean, move on to something else that she might have more knowledge with, and let Billy see what he can do. Because I got to say,
Billy's been doing good.
He has. And, I mean, there is a lot to like in TNA. There's a lot to also hate, but, you know, looking on positive side.
That's wrestling.
Yeah, it's a nice alternative. So I don't want to see TNA die. I do want to see TNA rebranded because TNA is such a terrible name to begin with. And I blame Vince Russo, Jeff Jarrett. I don't know whose fault it is. It's probably neither of theirs.
Let's blame both of them.
I'll blame Apollo Crews.
Yes, Apollo Crews. Man, talk about a man who's fallen from grace.
Yeah, who do you fight against this week, Russ?
Why, none other than nobody, but he was supposed to go up against Curt Hawkins.
Wow, nobody saw that except for me, and I hate my life for it.
No, Carrie saw it too. Carrie saw it too. You want me to do it again?
No.
I want to make you obsolete.
Oh, man. Yeah, he was supposed to fight against Curt Hawkins. I don't know. Do you think they did this? The Curt Hawkins thing. Do you think they did this kind of like to mimic Ava Marie, or just because of what happened last week? And they're like, "Holy crap, this is good. It's getting a little bit of buzz. Should we do it again?"
Is it really good though? I'm sitting here like I'm actually kind of losing a little interest in this. Like I liked the vignettes. I like him, but they just did it with Ava Marie, and now I'm good. I've had my fill of that particular angle. Give me a few years and I'll digest it again. I don't... Like, the man can wrestle. Let him fucking wrestle and let him have cool catchphrases. Let him entertain the millions and millions. And I'll be happy. That's my thoughts.
I just thought his entrance was fantastic. It was funny.
It was really good. I enjoyed it. And that's why I was like, I'm okay with it this week. I might be even okay with it next week. But that's it. This isn't Ava Marie. He's Curt Hawkins. And darn it, he needs to show us Curt Hawkins. So, you're right, Kent. It could be played out. I'm going to allow it at least one more week. After that, I'm done.
You're going to allow it?
Yes, I know
that you're the authority here, so I'm happy that they got your approval. That's good to know.
Yep.
WWE, rest assured, you're in good hands now that Russ has given his stamp, his seal of approval. He hasn't given the gold star because somebody's hoarding the gold stars.
Yeah, she really is holding on to those pretty tightly. Yeah.
Yes, I'll allow you to borrow one occasionally, but you have to ask first. Unlike certain instances that everyone will read about in this week's blog.
That's right. When you go to 9deuce.com/wrestling, you can read our blog. All three of us love to blog together. We might not talk at the same time, but darn it, it usually meshes really well. Kent?
Yes?
Thank you. You have not kentucated us yet this week. Sir, could you kentucate us this week?
Sure I can. So... I decided that we're getting closed in on Hell in a Cell. And we may even be coming close to one of the all-time worst main events if the Revolution gets its way. With that being said, I was curious, like, who's been in the most Hell in a Cell matches? I mean, the obvious answer, we all know the obvious two ones. We know it's Taker followed by Triple H. But did you know... that the third most matches for Hell in a Cell is held by Randall Orton. And tied for fourth is HBK, Shawn Michaels, John Cena, and CM Punk. There's a list of guys that are undefeated. The undefeated gentlemen are Batista, Kurt Angle, Mark Henry, Seth Rollins, Roman Reigns, and that's the list of undefeated.
I like that list.
Yeah, like, I don't know. I found it interesting. I was like, who's the shittiest person that was in a Hell in a Cell? And I narrowed it down to Rikishi. It Ted DiBiase Jr. and Big Boss Man.
Wait, Ted DiBiase Jr. got into a Hell in a Cell?
I think it was him, Randy, and Cody, because I see Cody. Or maybe it was just Ted and Cody were in one. But
that's weird. Oh, wow, okay.
No, they took on DX. Ted and Cody took on... It was years ago.
Really bad.
It was right around that time that we hated that Survivor Series. Right around that.
Okay. Yeah,
so right. That's when wrestling was really shitty.
Yep.
So, you want to know who has the worst record? Mick Foley, who is 0-4.
Oh, man.
Ryback's 0-2, and Shane McMahon is 0-2. And then there's, like, I don't know, 12 other guys, including Paul Heyman, who is 0-1.
Paul Heyman wasn't a Hell in the Cell.
Like, Edge was only 0-1. That's weird to me. And Sheamus has only been... I don't know. There's some names on here that just surprised me a little bit. I don't know. I guess, like, Austin. But Austin was only in 2. He was 1-2. So, there you go. And this year, we're getting, what, three Hell in the Cells.
We're getting 3 Hell in the Cells.
Which, I gotta say, not only am I not looking forward to the women's match... I'm not looking forward to a single one of those matches. The main event build, I mean, yes, we've laughed at Jericho and KO, but the build, I don't give a fuck. At no point do I think Seth Rollins is walking away. Like, they have not told me any rhyme or reason why Seth is going to walk away with a win. So why do I care about this match? Am I wrong in saying that the build's been terrible?
I think the build's been terrible for all... Well... Okay, I'm not going to say the build's been terrible. Let's take that off the
table. Well, you just did, though.
Why don't we say... I don't want to say the build was terrible. I'm going to redact that. What I'm going to say is...
Are you going to dab, too?
Each... Do you want me to dab? I'll do it right now.
Go on. Russ, we just had to hear that on the mic, you fuck.
I know. That's the worst. Sorry. Every single one of the champions is less than 2 months, except for New Day, but we're not talking about them right now. We'll talk about them in a few minutes. Every single one of the champions is less than 2 months. You can't take away a championship from anybody. That's really dumb. It devalues the belt. So there's not a single belt I honestly think is being changed. There's the possibility of the cruiserweight one only because it's the cruiserweight, so not as many people care. But honestly, you think they're going to give it back to Rusev after he just lost it? You think they're going to give it
made more
back
sense?
To Charlotte after she just lost it? You think they're going to give it back to Rollins?
Wouldn't it have made more sense to have kept it on Rusev for this past month and then had him lose
yes.
it?
Yes.
So you had
then
a title
drop
change.
It here. Yes.
That
would have been smarter. They screwed it up. Carrie?
Your turn. You're next.
I would say I'm in agreement. The build for... Everything's been... Well, the U.S. Championship has been decent. We've gotten a little bit of, you know, Rusev talking, Roman talking, and, you know, actually hearing cheers.
We got to see the dog.
And the dog. Let's not forget the dog.
The dog was great.
Dog
almost
was awesome.
As good as Lana's outfit. Almost.
Yep.
Which one? All the outfits. Anyway.
I don't know. I'm a fan of pink, so...
Ah... But, I mean, main event, well, I'm sorry, Universal title match, I'm not feeling the build there, I'm not seeing it, I'm just, it's basically the...
I think they've been focusing mostly on Kevin Owens and Jericho more than Seth Rollins. I think they're making Seth Rollins is in the match against Kevin Owens to give it that one final push so they can finally... move Seth to his true feud, and they're trying to set up the next feud for Kevin Owens. So I agree with you on that. It does seem kind of weak the way they're doing it. Is that fair to say?
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you think that Seth is having a good run as a face? Honestly, I know you have a huge raging one for him, but I think his run as a face, while he's getting a pop, I mean... The fans will pop for damn near anything that's a quote-unquote good guy unless they have really, you know, wet hair.
Didn't you like... What was it? Glitter crotch? What did he say?
I've already lost it. I think there was glitter ass. I don't know. Everything was all glitter, and it was.
He's not doing. He's not doing horribly, but they're not. Just like when he had his heel championship run, they're not giving him anything to work with. That's, I think, the biggest problem. That man has to carry everything he does by himself. They don't give him anything to work with. Yes, I'm not blaming Kevin Owens at all on this one, but they're trying to focus Kevin Owens on the Jericho stuff, so they're not giving him a full attention of Seth Rollins. And yes, I'll get on my soapbox any day for Seth, but let's face it, they're not giving him anything to work with. I'm hoping when they move Seth to his feud with Triple H or whoever they're going to move him next to before it's Triple H, that they finally give him something to work with. And yes, he'll have a really good face run. But right now, it's okay. I'm not going to say it's bad. It's just, it's okay.
Well, that brings up a good point. If you think beyond Hell in a Cell, I mean, we got the Survivor Series, so that's going to just kill a bunch of inane time with a lot of inane matches that don't matter at all. But beyond that, you got the dead month of December leading to the Rumble, and then you finally get to the road to WrestleMania, which is when Seth should be feuding with Triple H. Until then, what's going to be the holdover feud for Seth? Is he going to stay with KO and Jericho? Is he going to transition to Rusev? And if so, who the hell does Roman start feuding with? Because the heel side on Raw, as far as the top tier goes, especially if you lose Jericho to the face side, that heel side's very weak at the moment. Am I missing somebody that's kind of strong? I mean, Braun,
but they're building him
right
up. You can't put him. Yeah, you can't put him in with Seth.
Man, the look on your face is.
I'm trying to think. Like,
dumped.
Yeah, it's
Titus O'Neil.
This is a tough one. You're right.
No.
They have no heels on Raw that are
correct.
Good other than Kevin Owens and Chris Jericho, but Jericho's going face. Rusev's great. Okay, let's stop that right there. Rusev's great. And he should be the next person to actually target Seth. And it would be great if it was on Stephanie's order. Because Roman and Seth have to separate. Or, I'm sorry, Roman and Rusev have to separate. Seth and Rusev should be the next feud for them. So who's going to be for Roman? I
think they need to bring somebody up from NXT. I think that's the only viable solution.
Samoa Joe?
Joe, Rude. They have a lot of options.
Holy cow. You're right. I can't even think.
I think that's the only path because they don't have a lot of... For as much talent as they got in the draft... They didn't draft well.
They didn't. Because I'm trying to think right now who would be good for Roman to feud with. And I think of a few faces. You know, Zayn would be a good feud. But typically that doesn't work really well, especially if they're trying to push Zayn as a... Or if they're trying to push Roman as face, then you can't have him facing faces. Because he's going to get annihilated.
Oh, yeah. He'll get eaten up alive. Like, he's finally starting to get some cheers because... of Rusev, and yep. I don't know who can draw enough heat. Like, it's tough to draw heat. If you think about it, there's not many guys that even draw heat well on any roster, on NXT, on SmackDown, on Raw. Drawing heat is not an easy thing in this day and age, because if you're too cool, you become, you know, Jericho or Bray.
Jericho.
Or even Kevin Owens. Kevin Owens... He hasn't been booed in fucking... I don't even know how long.
He only gets booed when he opens his mouth to try to insult the people.
Right. Like, AJ right now, he's killing it as a heel. But we're kind of really running thin on heels, especially on the Raw side.
And that's amazing, because usually the heel is the easier one to go with, and they're just... They've been crushing it with the faces. They should have never turned Seth face, but I understand why they had to. They should have done it a long time ago. They missed their chance. When he first came back, he should have been face. They should have kept that. And they could have worked a lot of things. They could have worked Roman heel. Roman heel would be amazing, but now I don't want him to turn because every champion's a heel except for, well, TJ and... okay, never mind. I defeated my purpose when the majority of them were... faces.
No,
so.
You did good, Russ. You keep going. That you're doing such a good job.
You know what we haven't talked about
Drew
yet?
Drew Gulak? I don't know if that's how you
well,
pronounce
yes,
his name.
We haven't talked about that, but no, that's what I was going to go for. We haven't talked about the tag teams at all. We want to do a quick little bit of that, or do we want to call this because it has been pushing?
Well, Russ, we certainly hit your 45-minute mark a long time
We're
ago.
We're right there. We are right there.
I mean, what is there to say right now? New Day's going to defeat Demolition's record. Does anybody disagree?
Are we sure
of that? Does anybody think that New Day's not beating the record?
The only thing that makes me think of it is because everybody's saying yes, they're going to, is that WWE is going to go and turn around and say, nope, screw you, they're not going to get it now. That's the only thing, but I can't, yes, absolutely. Because it ends before WrestleMania, so.
Yeah, I'm actually entertained by the Cesaro New Day feud. It's not that bad, but yeah. When you know the outcome of these feuds, Raw becomes this three-hour mire of misery and tediousness. Yeah. Carrie, you got any thoughts on this?
I mean, I think maybe they're wasting our time with this whole Cesaro feud with New Day. I mean, it's inevitable that New Day retains, breaks the record, and then maybe we'll get a new tag team champ. But who? I mean, they pretty much buried the whole roster, the whole division at this point. Who's going to do it?
Well, except for Enzo and Cass. Enzo and Cass. They haven't buried them yet.
Maybe.
But it's face versus face at that point. Actually, I like what they're doing because we're pretty much sure that Cesaro and Sheamus aren't winning. So that makes me think that they're going to break them up almost immediately after Hell in a Cell to have them have one last match again. So that's kind of what I'm hoping for. Or they'll do it after Survivor Series. They'll keep them together until Survivor Series, have them botch whatever, and then in December have them have a huge match. What is the December pay-per-view for Raw? Do we know? Is it TLC?
Yes.
Okay, so they could have a great ladder match. Or something.
Yes.
Thank you, Kent.
Yes.
For paying attention.
Well, right now, I gotta be honest here. My PlayStation View is fucking up. And, you know, we're a few minutes away.
I know it's almost 10 o'clock.
And I'm sitting here like, well, PlayStation View's been fucking up since yesterday. That's why I couldn't watch SmackDown live. So now I'm sitting here like, now if you mess with two of my programs within the same week, I'm really just going to be unpleasant. I'm not going to riot, because, I mean, only idiots riot, but...
What?
I mean, only idiots riot. fantastic.
You know what? This is a good place to end. I think we've talked everything we need to about Raw this week and SmackDown.
You know one thing we haven't mentioned? We're available on iTunes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's a thing.
That's right. That is a thing. We're available on iTunes, so if you want to go out to iTunes and get our podcast, you can get every single one of our podcasts, and some that Kent does with other people, too, and still counts them as our podcast.
Man, the jealousy is strong within this one.
All right, that is going to do it for us this week. Ladies and gentlemen, we hope you have been truly Kentertained. For Carrie and Kent, this is Russ, and I'm saying... So long, folks. We will see you next week. Okay, Kent, one more time. Just show me your boobs.
Fucking kill you.
Wow.
Just brutal, man. Just brutal.